My name is Garland Robinson. Why is it that the Lord's people meet on the first day of the week? Why do we meet every Sunday, every Lord's Day, every first day of the week? Why is it then that we preach the gospel on those occasions? Well, you know, a lot of people believe that preaching is outdated. But I'm here to tell you, and back it up from the Word of God, that preaching is not outdated. It never has been, and it never will be. Times may change. The thinking of men and the things they get into in this world may change, but sin doesn't change. God's will does not change. God designed that preaching be done throughout the generations as long as this world stands, and that is the decree God has made, and that's what we must honor. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Notice that. People in the world think preaching is foolish, but unto the Lord, it is His power. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, just three verses later, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now, He didn't say foolish preaching. He didn't say preaching is foolish, but some consider it foolish. Some think it's silly and outdated and ought to be done away with, and that's the very point here this passage is talking about. Though people think of it as foolish, God has chosen through that avenue to give instruction, to teach people of the world that they might be saved. So why should we preach? Well, of course, we've answered the question already. It's the will of God. But why is it that a lot of people preach? A lot of people preach in order to make money. They're into it for what they can get out of it. They're charlatans. They deceive people. They feather their own cap. And we've heard on the news in recent years about individuals who made merchandise of the gospel, who made thousands and even millions of dollars stealing it from people. They were not honest, sincere. They didn't preach the truth. Their motive was wrong. They were into it to make money. Some preach in order to make a name for themselves. They like the proud position they think it is. They really want to be promoters of themselves and make others think that they are really something. And then there are those who preach to please the crowds, just to be popular among the people. They never preach anything to interfere with a person's conscience. They present sermons that are designed to entertain. These are all certainly unworthy motives for preaching, and those who do such will have to pay for their evil deeds in the end. Then the true motive, the true point of gospel preaching and why we do it is because we're compelled to. The Bible commands it. Even in the Old Testament, you remember the prophet Jeremiah preached faithfully the Word of God, so often fell on deaf ears. He felt like he was spinning his wheels. He would become discouraged on occasion. And then in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, he actually said, "I'll make mention of him no more. I'll speak no more in his name." But no sooner had he said that than the Bible says that the Word of God was in his heart as a burning fire shut up in his bones. He was weary with forbearing. That is, he could not help himself. He had to teach. He had to preach the almighty Word of God. Friend, that's the true motive. That's the incentive by which we preach today. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, when the apostles were threatened, when they were beaten, Peter and John said, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." They weren't about to be quiet. They had to present the evidence from the Scriptures, from the Word of God, and proclaim it to all the world. Paul made mention in 1 Corinthians 9 in verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel." Paul said, "I have that commission, that command." And he was like Jeremiah that felt like he had to. He could not live with himself. He would not have a clear conscience unless he did that which God commanded him to do through his holy inspired word, is to teach that gospel to every creature under heaven. So the proper motive and purpose of preaching is to teach the word of God in order that souls might be saved. When Paul writes to the young gospel preacher Timothy, he mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word. Notice he didn't tell him to preach himself, didn't tell him to preach opinion, didn't tell him to preach what was pleasing unto the people, not what they wanted to hear. He was to preach the word. That's the word of God, the word that is able to save our souls. James chapter 1 and verses 18 to 21. So he tells him to preach the word of God, be instant in season, out of season. Now what that means is when people like it and when they don't. We don't judge the audience and then modify our lessons and our sermons to meet and satisfy with the times or those who may be listening. So we preach it when people desire to hear it and when they agree with it. And we preach it when they do not desire to hear it and may not agree with it. We preach it just the same. That's the command that God has given us. We're told to reprove, rebuke, exhort, and do so with all long suffering and doctrine. The idea of reproving is to lay out the truth in such fashion that it would make people feel guilty for what they're doing. Here is the word of God. Here is what is right. Here's the righteousness of God. And that is pointing out sin, everything that is contrary to the will of God, that which causes people to be separated from God, that which will cause them to lose their soul. And that needs to be laid out before people, and people need to be able to see it. This is sin. Not because the preacher says so, not because of some decree of man somewhere, but because of Almighty God. He's the one that's presented it. Here's what is right. Here's what is wrong. And people need to recognize that. That is the idea of reproving in our preaching. But then also the Bible says we are to rebuke in our preaching. That is, we lay out what is the truth on the one hand. Then we examine people's lives and see the fruits they bear. We see how their life matches up or does not match up in relation to the Word of God. And we point out that inconsistency. We point fingers and say, you're not living according to the gospel. We rebuke you. And that causes people to feel guilty. They feel bad about it. They're ashamed, embarrassed, and they ought to feel remorse. And that remorse then would be an incentive for them to straighten up their lives and be back in right relationship with the Lord again by obedience to His will. That is the rebuking part of our preaching. And then the Bible also says that preaching involves exhorting. That is, when people have learned the truth, they examine their lives and see that it's not in harmony with the truth, then we exhort them, we encourage them to make amends, to humble themselves, repent of their sins, and obey the gospel. Act upon that which you have now learned. And so the sinner is exhorted to repent and to obey God through faith, repentance, confession, and water baptism. He can become a child of God. And then those who are faithful children of God, we exhort them, encourage them. You keep on. You continue in the way that you're now going. Those are certainly biblical reasons to preach the gospel. One, because we're compelled to. We have to. Another motive is to obey God in the fact that we preach it when people like it and when they don't. When they are guilty of violating it, we preach it. Preaching involves instruction. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, in the Great Commission, the Lord said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We are to teach people. Teach so they may become disciples. And when the apostles were commanded to teach and preach, they did so. when men decided they better not preach nor teach any more in this man's name, they preached anyway. We cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard, Peter and John said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. We read in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42 that daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. That must be our goal and our purpose even now, to give instruction, to impart the truth, encourage people to act upon it. Men need to be taught. They've got to be taught in order that they might come to God. Jesus said in John 6:45, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." In order for one to repent of their sins, they have to learn the truth. They have to learn what sin is, that it's a violation of God's Word, that they are guilty of it, and then humble themselves in mind, in their mind, that they might turn from that, change their mind about it, repent of it, and which will follow by a changed life. In order for that to happen, they have to hear the gospel. They have to be taught of God. And the way we teach people of God is through the all-inspired Word of God, the Scripture, which is the Bible. And then Jesus said there in John 6:45 that every man that hath heard the gospel and learned what the gospel is, those are the ones that are able to turn and walk toward, go toward Jesus Christ. And that command was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. And Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. Friend, when preaching ceases to teach and instruct, it fails in its mission. Our job is to teach people, inform them, so that they would not be ignorant of the Word, they would not be unknowing of the will of God. But so often people are involved in sinful activities and don't even know it. I've talked to a lot of people, you know a lot of people, that are involved in sinful activity, but they don't know it's a sin. So they have to be taught that it is a sin and that they've got to repent of it, confess faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be immersed into water that the blood of Jesus may wash their sins away. My name is Garland Robinson.